everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Skewed and Reviewed Skewedcast. I am Gareth Brader of Skewed and Reviewed, and you can catch us online at sknr.net as we cover all things movies, games, television, travel, entertainment, pop culture, and more. And also, you can catch us at pinalcentral.com. Keyword Skewed, which is a network of newspapers where we do game reviews. It's something like 11 or 12 papers in 21 different markets now. We also have our quarterly Skewed and Reviewed magazine. We're going to be putting it out. Usually it's out right about now, but we are going to put it out in the first week of April, simply because we want to get our WonderCon coverage in there, and we will be off this week. I know it's crazy. We just got back from our cruise on Tuesday, and here we are right back at it and heading back out again, and then we get back for a week or so and then back out to CinemaCon. But then, you know, a little bit of peace and quiet, for the time being. We also have our segments on BJJ's Geek Nation. And Joey is usually with us. Joey Z is not able to come tonight because he just got back up to Seattle, and he's dealing with all kinds of stuff like getting back. His car's not ready, so on and so forth. So he needed some time to get that all straightened out. You can also catch us Sci-Fi Radio. You can catch us on Open Critic and Smashbomb, many other places. And, of course, you know, lots of options out there. But we do have Justin, we do have Michael with us. We have a lot of stuff to cover, so we will hit the ground and get going. And before we get into the discussions, I just want to talk about a couple of new products that are out. So starting off, we have a little bit of something in the field of home entertainment, and that is the complete first season of Wednesday, which has been released from Warner Brothers Discovery for DVD and Blu-ray on March 26th. And if you're a big fan of Tim Burton, you're a big fan of the Addams Family, this was a very nice, pleasant surprise, and it looks fantastic. It sounds amazing in the high-def Blu-ray feed, and I'm looking forward to Season 2 coming up, and hopefully there'll be some stuff this summer at San Diego Comic-Con for that, but you'll definitely want to check that out. Another thing I wanted to talk about briefly, I've got some video coming up, I'm only a little bit in that, is a new PSVR 2 horror interactive game called Happy Funland. It's a darkly comedic VR experience, obviously, for the PSVR 2. So imagine that. There's this Mort Grizzly's Happy Funland theme park, home of Randy Rodent, has closed years earlier under very mysterious circumstances. And you are basically hired to go in and explore the place. And when you get into the rundown theme park, things are not as they seem. There's all kinds of dangerous traps and some very creepy stuff going on. I had to do things like fix fuse boxes, get the power back on, work a mini golf putter in VR, which was not easy. Deal with finding keys, traps, that sort of thing, solving puzzles. So it's very interactive. Thankfully, you can save a lot along the way. It is going to be out on the 26th, so definitely check that out. It's got an attractive price of $24.99, and it's called Happy Funland. Two other things really quick. We get to the discussions. I'm late with this because, like I said, of our travel. I did want to mention Disney's Iwashu, I hope I am saying that right, which is streaming on Disney Plus, and of course something I am getting really embraced in as quickly as I can, and that is the phenomenal X-Men 97, which is a continuation of the hit animated series that's on Disney Plus, and the reviews have been fantastic. What I've seen of it has looked great, and I cannot wait to see more because, you know, I just love the Marvel stuff. And this is definitely doing a great job of meeting my Marvel fix right now. So, gentlemen, we have the Game Developers Conference going on. And the other day, we had some awards given out. So the Game Developers Conference Awards gave Alan Wake. I'm only going to hit the highlight ones here. Alan Wake 2 got Best Visual Art. Hi-Fi Rush got Best Audio. Baldur's Gate 3 got Best Narrative. Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom won the Innovation Award and the Best Technology. Best Design went to Baldur's Gate 3. The Audience Award went to Baldur's Gate 3, as did the Game of the Year Award. So, we will start with Justin. What do you make of that?
I think that's a pretty standard, a pretty expected list of wins there. I think that makes sense to me. I think the one game that kind of stood out over any others last year was probably Baldur's Gate 3 for all of those different categories. I don't know if it was my own personal favorite last year, but I think it definitely deserves the recognition that it got for pretty much everything that it did right. It kind of showed that, a developer, not to say Larian is a small developer, but, I do think it's important to highlight that Larian, in comparison to many other studios, is a little bit on the smaller side. I mean, obviously they had a lot of success and track record with making very similar games for a very long period of time. I don't really think the Divinity games are generally considered like AAA. I mean, that's AAA is kind of a vague, hard to define category for a type of game, but the Divinity games got definitely kind of more in the mid-range category. So to have a developer create a game that really hit way above its weight in terms of what I think most people were expecting, I think was very surprising and definitely warranted. I think of those listed, I think maybe my personal favorite, or the one I had the most fun with, was Tears of the Kingdom. I think it's a pretty good list, pretty standard. It kind of echoes a lot of what the other awards from late last year also gave out.
And Michael, your take, please.
Yeah, I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 was my game of the year for last year by far. Although Alan Wake 2 being a close second, and both of those were recognized not only at GDC, but they were recognized with the Steam Awards and the other ones too. Tears of the Kingdom, I for some reason I just couldn't get into the Zelda games on Switch, not for lack of trying, and I don't know what I can certainly appreciate why those games are get all the recognition they do, and I can certainly appreciate why they're popular. I don't know personally what my hang up is on those games. But I'll probably go back to them again at some point. But that being said, I think I think there was a really good showing in 2023 with game releases and with these games that typically sequels don't always necessarily live up to the originals. And I think in all those cases, I think Tears of the Kingdom. I definitely think Baldur's Gate 3, which is a sequel, but not by the same developer, so I guess there could be some argument to say that that's not truly a sequel. And even Alan Wake 2, although I would argue that I think Alan Wake 1, I think I still preferred overall. I think, generally speaking, those sequels tend to be, they tend to retread the previous games to some degree, and they aren't always as do as well or are as innovative as their predecessors. And I think with all of those games, I think in some degree they actually surpassed the games they were built upon. Again, for me, Alan Wake, the initial one, is still probably one of my favorite games of all time. So as much as I do love Alan Wake 2, I don't think it quite lives up quite to that same level that the original Alan Wake did for me. And I think part of that just might be how innovative it was at the time, and I think it would be hard to surpass that. But that being said, I do think it's very promising when the sequels are actually being well thought out. They're continuing to innovate, they're continuing to drive changes, and they're not simply just retelling or rehashing the same old story. One of the sequels that I know just released today. I think Dragon Dogma 2 is another one I'm excited to get my hooks into. Again, for a lot of the same reasons, is these are games that, in some cases, I think with the exception of Tears of the Kingdom, which didn't have quite as much time in between, Alan Wake 2 and obviously the Baldur's Gate games were, 10 plus years after their predecessors. So I think, again, I think it says a lot when they can continue to tell great stories, continue to innovate on what made the games popular, and at the same time still make those games feel familiar enough to enjoy them. So, yeah, no big surprises, I don't think, for many of those. I think 2023 was an outstanding year, generally speaking, for gaming. We'll have to see how 2024 does, but overall, no big surprises there.
What surprised me was the news that was coming out today that they are not going to make DLC expansions for Baldur's Gate 4, and there's a report that they're working on something even bigger than Baldur's Gate 4, and I'm like, I wonder what that could be. So that's definitely going to get people speculating and talking. So a lot of interesting stuff there. So let's get to the big news of the week, and that is that we finally got a trailer and a poster for Alien Romulus, as well as the first trailer teaser, of course, for both earlier today for Beetlejuice, the very, very long coming sequel. I remember them, 20 years ago, talking about, we'd like to make a sequel someday, and we finally got our first look at it. So, Michael, we'll start with you, and then Justin, we'll get you. Why don't you start with Alien Romulus, and we will start, and then go to Beetlejuice, and tell us what you thought of the trailers.
So, Alien Romulus really excited me, and what excited me about the trailer was that it looks like it's going back to its horror roots, which I think is one of the areas where, and again, nothing against the past couple of with Prometheus and its sequel. Not that I disliked those movies by any stretch of the imagination. I thought they were decent films in that same universe, but I do like that it's kind of a return to the horror form of the movies, which I think is where Alien and even Aliens, which even though it was technically a lot more action oriented, I think that's what a lot of people have been really looking for, is that dark, foreboding horror theme that the other ones had been kind of lacking on. Some could argue Alien 3 kind of maintained that too, but I still don't think up to the same level as Alien and Aliens did. So I was really impressed with the trailer. I mean, obviously there's, the trailers are only going to show bits and pieces of it, but I did feel pretty pleased with how everything looked when I saw that. So yeah, I'm really excited for that movie. I'm hoping that they really have a return to form and they knock it out of the park, because I think it's one of those franchises that we definitely want to see, more built upon. And obviously, the better the movies do, the more opportunities we have for sequels, additional streaming shows, and just that franchise in general to continue to grow. So yeah, I was pretty impressed. So definitely looking forward to that. The Beetlejuice trailer, I thought it was really good too. Pretty short, didn't show a lot, but for a movie that came out, wow! And I think I was in eighth grade when that movie came out, late '80s. It's kind of crazy to think about how long ago that the original came out. Because, it still holds up, I think, really well today. But when you think about, the time frames, it would be like us seeing a movie that was made in the 50s, seeing a sequel in the 80s, right? So I think it's pretty impressive that they can kind of maintain that same feel, that there's still excitement around movies that, would be considered older, I think, at this point. And generally speaking, it looks very much in the same tone as the original. So yeah, definitely looking forward to both of these coming out for sure.
And Justin, your take, please.
Yeah, I agree with Michael. I liked both teasers, and that's really what they were. They were both teasers. Very short. And really, honestly, in a sense, I'm actually a little apprehensive to watch, especially for Alien Romulus. I'm a little apprehensive to watch any more of the marketing material, because I think both teasers were effective in the way that they were very simple, very short. With Beetlejuice sort of just reintroduces you to the characters. Okay, Michael Keaton's back. Winona Ryder's back. It's got the same tone. You know, so that gets me excited. But obviously, me having such a background with Alien, I'm even more apprehensive after watching the Alien Romulus teaser to really delve any more into, you know, knowing more about the movie. And I'm not apprehensive because of the teaser being low quality or anything. Actually, exactly the opposite. I think what the teaser did well is really show what kind of tone this movie was going for, and also showed us what kind of visuals and what kind of setting we're in for, which is, it's very much a return to form. And I think in our last podcast, we kind of talked a little bit about the direction Fede Alvarez will take the series with Alien Romulus. And I speculated, I think a lot of us speculated, that it will probably follow the same kind of approach that has been very popular lately with horror movies and horror franchises, where you really kind of cut the fat and really just focus on a very slimmed down, hyper-focused version of what made the original of whatever franchise work so well. So, like the Halloween reboot, it was very, you know, they cut out all kind of the extraneous like lore and attempts to innovate, and really kind of just focused on making a good Halloween movie. That's sort of the approach I'm getting from this teaser, that it's very much in line with the same tone as the original Alien. It doesn't really tell us anything about the characters and doesn't really tell us anything about the premise, but it does show us, you know, what it's going to look like, and kind of gives us a little bit of a glimpse of just how like horrifying and violent it probably will be, just from that short teaser. And it seems like it's very horror focused. I guess one noteworthy thing is just gobs and gobs of facehuggers. I guess that will be, something a little new, but yeah, I kind of want to go into this movie blind after seeing this teaser. I think this might be one of those rare cases of, you know, knowing less about it going into it actually might be beneficial, just because it's been so long, kind of like what Michael just said. A lot of the Alien movies, because they were built on conventions established by the first movie, you know, I love Aliens. I like Alien 3 to an extent. And I do like Prometheus and Alien Covenant, with both of which had a very unconventional approach to the franchise. While I like those movies and what they did, I'm kind of getting the sense that this movie might be able to shock people in the way that the original movie did. Hopefully.
Justin, one point that I wanted to bring up that you just made me think about with the lots and lots of facehuggers, I think that's actually a pretty key statement right there, because what has always kind of confounded me a little bit about the movies in the past is you always see all the eggs, right? But you rarely ever see more than one facehugger on screen at any one time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually pretty telling that we see a bunch, because I think that to me does kind of set more of a tone for what I would kind of expect when we do see all the eggs in the previous movies, where we just didn't get that sense of overwhelming when, you know, with those things. So I thought that was pretty telling that you brought that point up.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're right. We had two in Aliens and then Alien versus Predator, whether you count that or not. We did have that one scene where like three or four jumped out, but we haven't seen like this. And you know what's funny is we've already had everybody going over the thing like crazy, and it's interesting because we've had news. We all knew that Ridley Scott had seen it and loved it, and apparently James Cameron has also seen it and loved it, and director Freddie Alvarez talks about how he got notes from both of them that were very helpful. They were not the same. They kind of, in some ways, were very different from each other's approach in keeping with their, you know, filmmaking style. But, you know, we learned things like it's set 20 years after Alien. There are people that are going over every single picture. I've heard people saying, oh, you know what, it's going to link to Covenant. I've heard people say, oh, guess what, you know, the Kaylee Spaney's going to turn out to be, Amanda Ripley, so on and so forth. And it's like, you know, that's the beauty of it. Everybody's going crazy. Now, I am curious what we're going to get for Alien Day, if anything, because I honestly thought we would not see this until CinemaCon, and then they would have, you know, a reveal on Alien Day. But they chose to put it out now. I'm very curious if we're going to get any kind of presence for it at CinemaCon. I would hope so, but, you know, you never know. We might get a reference or two, but you might get essentially, hey, the trailer's dropped, we're just going to mention it's coming, so on and so forth. But it will be very, very, very interesting to see what happens with that. Now, two things I did want to mention. The D23 experience used to be the D23 Expo. Tickets will go on sale March 26th, and that's in Anaheim. You definitely want to see that. It covers everything Disney, from the cruise ships to theme park expansions. We talked about a lot of expansions planned. I'll have more details on that. Television shows, movies, the live action event is always really, really popular because it talks about what's coming for Marvel, for Pixar, for Disney, not just animated, but live action, and, of course, Star Wars. And with that, hand in hand, we have Star Wars Celebration Japan tickets about to go on sale. I've got some information on the website, have the artwork and posters. And, gentlemen, just this week, we heard two little interesting bits of news. Number one, Patty Jenkins says she's back and that the Rogue Squadron film is very much in development again. And we got the trailer for Star Wars The Acolyte, which apparently has absolutely set the internet abuzz and broken all records for Star Wars trailers. So, Justin, we'll start with you. What do you make of all that news?
So, tackling the first one, I can't remember what we were talking about last week, I think it was a few weeks ago, about the delay with Batman, and I think Michael made a good point that the delay actually might end up meaning that it doesn't come out. I don't want to be cynical, but with a lot of these Star Wars projects, I'm kind of like, it'd be great if we got a Rogue One movie. I'm definitely in favor of seeing it. And seeing how it's done. But I think with the Star Wars projects, because there's been a lot of turmoil and behind the scenes in terms of what gets greenlit and what goes on hold, and we still don't really know what the status is of several projects that were announced previously, I'm kind of in the camp, but it'd be great if it happens, but I'm still waiting for more information. Like, once cameras start rolling and stuff starts getting editing, then I definitely, it's like, okay, this is definitely coming out. They're investing quite a lot of time in it. But obviously something is happening behind the scenes with the project, and there's forward momentum, but until cameras start rolling and we have like solid dates, then I'm still kind of apprehensive as to whether this is coming out or not. Star Wars Acolyte trailer looked pretty good. I mean, I'm still, I guess I'm kind of still in the phase where I'm a little more interested in the stories that are not as Jedi focused. I think Mandalorian, obviously, I think is one of the bigger Star Wars Star Wars shows right now. Andor as well, which, you know, again, both of those, there are Jedi obviously in Mandalorian. It ended up being very Jedi focused, but it is still less focused on the Jedi and kind of expands the universe kind of in more interesting ways. That said, I mean, the trailer did look very interesting and intriguing, and focuses on a time period that hasn't really been focused on film yet or live action. So that's definitely interesting and has a lot of actors in it that I think will be cool to see, you know, join the franchise. So I'm intrigued by it and want to know a little bit more of what it's about.
And Michael, your take, please.
Yeah, I'm in the same park, the same area with Rogue One. I would love a movie that's focused a lot on spaceship combat. You know, because a lot of, you know, Star Wars was very much World War II inspired, right? So that's why you see a lot of more less traditional spaceship combat. Again, you know, with all the people that would argue that it was not realistic, yada yada, we all know that. Most of Star Wars is not, so you know, that you can take that for what it is. But as much as I would like to see that, one thing I've learned over the past 10 years, 7 years, whatever it's been, is that when they have these new Star Wars shows and stuff come out, if they don't get a good reception, or if there's not the kind of influx of cash that they're expecting, sometimes that will immediately cut funding to some of these other things, and they'll pull back. You know, we saw that when Han Solo didn't do as well as they had anticipated, and it caused a ripple effect for new movies coming out, as well as streaming shows coming out. Now, again, obviously, we've seen some resurgence in that with Andor to some extent, and even more extent, The Mandalorian. So maybe things are still on track there. I sometimes think they just push these things out to see what kind of buzz it generates, to see whether or not it's something that they want to move forward with. So we'll wait and see. Again, I'm a little bit cautiously optimistic about it, but we have seen far too many times where they've made all these announcements only to have them killed off, or say, oh, we're not going to do that, or, oh, we've lost the director, or we don't have a script, and these things don't see the light of day. And unfortunately, quite a bit more from Disney and Star Wars than other franchises. You know, Disney and Star Wars kind of gets me thinking a lot about the video game industry, is in like E3, where, oh, we see a trailer for a game that comes out, and 5 years later, we don't know anything about it, and it never happens. That's kind of the vibe I get from the Disney-Star Wars relationship as of late, again, because, you know, again, they kind of look at things, take to see how successful they are, and then they make a decision going forward. I would rather wait. They don't make announcements on things without some sort of a time frame of when we expect it, you know, and or a sneak preview or something that would give us more than, oh, let's just make an announcement and see what happens. So we'll see. As far as Acolyte goes, yeah, I think Acolyte looks really good. I was excited to see the trailer. I'm with Justin in the sense that I kind of like a little bit more focus on non-Jedi stuff. And again, I'm not anti-Jedi and force wielding in general. I think that tends to be where Disney/Star Wars kind of falls back on, if some of the stuff that they try isn't as successful. Like Andor, for example, I thought Andor was actually really well done, but I don't know that it was as well received as, say, something like The Mandalorian. Again, it was not as action-focused. It was not as Jedi-focused. And I do think that, you know, Jedi is what sells for Star Wars, particularly with kids. So Acolyte certainly does kind of fit that mold. Again, I'm not gonna complain because it does look good, but at the same time, it's kind of a double-edged lightsaber, I guess you want to put it that way, in the sense that, you know, we want to see new stories told, we want to see things outside of the Force, outside of the Jedi versus Sith, but that is what a lot of people are drawn to. So I can understand why they continue to fall back on that. As opposed to moving forward with, you know, more unique attempts. So, not to be negative, I mean, all things considered, I think it looks great. And we'll have to see what happens with Rogue One.
I think the big issue that I have, not that the Acolyte doesn't look entertaining, but very clearly established that the Sith have been gone for over 1,000 years. And we clearly saw red lightsaber in the trailer. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean necessarily they're a Sith, so on and so forth. But I have always felt that one of the biggest untold stories of the entire Star Wars trilogy is why were they so convinced that the Sith were gone and were not coming back? We have the expanded universe that has talked to us about all kinds of scenarios with Darth Bane and the Rule of Two and so on and so forth. But, you know, Qui-Gon Jinn flat out says, guy was stacked, well-trained, I think he was a Sith. Oh, no, 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 there's no Sith. Second episode two, a Sith Lord is in charge of the Senate. Oh, yeah, whatever. They just blew it off. Nobody wanted to pay any attention. So I think why the Jedi Council was so convinced the Sith weren't an issue when it was clear that people could fall to the dark side, I think is something that needs to be explored. So I think that would be an interesting storyline. The other thing is, you guys hit it exactly right. I am literally at the point where when you start filming, that's when I'll know these things are coming, because we have all these things announced that have never come to the light of day. This year is going to be very telling. I mean, we had the announcement at Star Wars Celebration. None of those films have gone before the camera yet. We have, everything from D23 to San Diego Comic-Con, although traditionally they would save that for D23. We've got a Star Wars Celebration coming up. Let's wait and see what the big announcements are, because I think it's going to be very tough if they go out there and say, hey, you know what, here's this new Star Wars film and here's this new Star Wars project. And people say, well, hold on a second, what happened to the other ones that you asked, you know, you mentioned? None of those came to be. So there is a, I don't want to say a credibility issue, but there is the fact that people are waiting to see these things, and we will see. Now, that being said, we have Star Wars Day coming out, not too distant future, in May the 4th. And, gentlemen, I have the ultimate time waster for you. So, in celebration of the 25th anniversary of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, fans will have a chance to experience all 9 films in the Skywalker saga on one day on May the 4th. All 9 films will be screened in order, starting with Episode 1. That's a bit of a problem for me. I think they should be, you know, order of release. But that being said, they're going to show all 9. The 3 prequels, the 3 standard films, and then the 3 sequels. And it will apparently also include, and this is interesting, where was it here? It will supposedly have an exclusive look at the Acolyte, and those who attend will also get a limited edition poster. Tickets go on sale Friday. So either one or both, what do you guys make of that? And could you imagine sitting through, what are we looking at? That's like 22 hours of movies, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd have to consider breaks and that sort of thing. So I would think, yeah, wouldn't that put us close to like 21 hours with breaks?
Yeah.
And I'm up for it. I think that would actually be awesome. Would I be able to stay awake that entire time? I don't know. I have trouble. I tried to do that once as a kid, but I got through the first 1.5 where I fell asleep. But, you know.
Justin, you have a comment on that?
No, same thing. I mean, it sounds like a fun time, but I just know my limits. There's just no way I'd be able to sit through all of them in one go. When I occasionally will go through and I'll watch like all the Lord of the Rings movies, that's like a 2-day thing for me. Like I have to space that out over the course of a weekend. I can't really do the back to back so much anymore. I just get tired out. I just need a break of some kind. So that's for those who have the willpower to get through all of that, then all the power to them, because that's probably will be quite the experience. I'm with you though, Gareth, that I would rather have seen them in release order, but
so here's a sad but true story. So you guys may remember when they released the original trilogy with the remastered effects and all that, and people may not remember, but they released the films a few months apart. So they had this time right after Return of the Jedi came out when all three were still at various theaters. And they were showing them not as a trilogy, but it was like, you know, you go into Theater 1 to see Star Wars, you go into Theater 4 to see Empire Strikes Back, Theater 6 has Return of the Jedi, and the other ones have all that. So I was not married at the time. So I went out on a Saturday with a friend of mine. This was up in Washington. Went to a theater, and they had a little sign taped into the box office window. If you plan to see all three films, here is your recommended time. So they would like tell you, go to the, you know, the 10 o'clock one of this, 12:30 one of this, then of this. So they had a very nice thing. So whatever time of day you came, if you were planning on seeing all three of them. So we said, all right, what the hell, let's give this a shot. Stupid thing you do on a Saturday afternoon when you have time to kill. Figured I'd still have my evening free. So you go in and you see Star Wars, and then you get up and you have to walk to another theater. And I want to say there was like less than a half an hour, in some cases 15 to 20 minute break. Go into the other theater, Empire Strikes Back. By the time I got to Return of the Jedi, I was good, let's put it that way. And I absolutely love Star Wars and Empire, but I got to return, and the sad thing is I remember going, man, Han Solo really became a wuss by the third film compared to, you know, how cocky and arrogant he was in the two films and how mellow and, oh, I love you and all that by the third one. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I prefer seeing him that. Nonetheless, it was a fun time. Could not imagine tacking another three films on that, much less six, you know, just couldn't happen, but, you know, more power to it. I mean, remember, we had those people that powered through the Marvel films to, you know, get to Endgame and that sort of thing. And if you remember, they were giving people, like, blankets and stuff like that so they could, you know, do that. So we'll see how that all plays out. So I threw that out there just for a little bit of fun before we wrap it up with what I'm intrigued over. Amy Hennig, who was behind games such as Jack 3, Uncharted 2, Honor Among Thieves, was supposedly working on a solo Star Wars game that got shut down. Word has come out that she is behind a Marvel game. We now have more information. Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra. It's coming out in 2025. Narrative driven. We got a bit of a trailer on it. Curious. So, Michael, do you want to make some comments on this?
I don't know. I'm gonna be kind of a bummer in this. I just don't know how I feel about the golden age of superheroes, which would probably be fall into the Marvel 1943 era. I don't know. I don't really have a connection there. I'm not opposed to it at all, and I honestly I might be surprised. But I think that's always been kind of my issue with some of the. Now again, I've been surprised with some of the Marvel, the Marvel franchises that I wasn't familiar with. But I would be again outside of the very first Captain America, where obviously that took place with Red Skull in 19. You know, World War II, that sort of thing. I like the World War II era of things. I just don't know that I'm a golden comics kind of era person. But hey, I'm up for anything that's new and different. So yeah, sure, why not?
And Justin, your take, please.
Yeah, I think the aspect of this story that is, or this game and this game's creation that intrigues me the most is actually probably Amy Hennig's involvement in it. I think. Unfortunately, she's kind of got a bad. She's had some kind of unfortunate events, you know, in the last several years. I mean, she had such a huge major track record, being attached to some major successful titles, with, Naughty Dog. And I think it wasn't just that solo Star Wars project that ended up getting canceled. I think she was also attached to another, game that ended up getting canceled. So this one, obviously it's far enough along. It just got a trailer, and it looks like it's at least from the trailer, it looks like it's, coming along very, very nicely. I'm with Michael though. Like, I don't know if I'm as attached to the setting as well. Captain America, I could see that being an interesting game. I'm sure it will be well designed, but I think the one thing that makes me maybe a little bit worrisome about the Marvel games, other than the Insomniac Spider-Man games have been excellent, but it seems like a lot of the effort that's been put into, the Avengers game that came out recently, as well as, there was another one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy seemed like it was better received, but the Avengers game definitely struggled quite a bit. So this, I guess the short version is that the game version of the MCU has not really taken off like the movies, and it's really kind of struggled to get its footing. Maybe with Amy Hennig being attached to this, this will kind of be where they can kind of turn things around and really knock it out of the park. So I'm intrigued by it. It's maybe not on top of my list of games I'm going to be watching and looking forward to, but I'll be watching it and seeing, you know, how it's coming along. And you know, when it comes out, I think next year, 2025, you know, we'll see how it's received.
Absolutely. A lot of stuff going on. So it's been a busy week, a lot of news. Next week's going to be crazy. We have, film screening, so we will get stuff in. We're heading out to, WonderCon on Thursday night, but we will try to get the segment recorded and off to you folks in plenty of time. Until next week, though, take care and be well.